بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بأحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، اللهم علما إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. So last night he was talking about the sunnah of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the mubtadi in tawbah, the beginner in tawbah, three things that will constantly remind him about his wrong actions, give him insight into his faults, and cause him to reflect on what's gone on in the past, and give him insight and give him practice in submitting to the divine decree. The first one he said was the fact that his creation will blame you, find fault in you. The second one is that his nafs will become unbearable. The increasing unbearability of his self on him due to its fickleness, obsessions and defiance with the passage of time. And then tawajjuh al-balaya, the third one is the fact that he will direct at him tribulations and calamities. And then with them will be also the absence of help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefits. He won't see these forthcoming, because the purpose of it is to get him to respond to it, to reflect on it. And then he says, these tribulations will be of three types. Al-masa'ibu ala thalathati awjuh. Awwaluha mukaffirat. The first type of calamities are those that expiate wrong actions. Al-mukaffirat. وَذَلِكَ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ صَبَرَ وَسَلَّمْ دُونَ مُنَازَعَةٍ وَلَا ضَجَرٍ مِنْ غَيْرِ زَائِدٍ. So the first one are mukaffirat, and this occurs or is the right of the one who has patience, the one who has resignation, without opposition, without vexation. So that's the first one. الثاني مذكرات. Those are reminders. وَذَلِكَ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ بِهَا وَجْهَ التَّذْكِيرِ. And that is due to the one who remembers, who recollects, who takes from this, he remembers why this is happening to him. In other words, what is the aspect of this reminder? Where is it coming from? وَهُوَ لَا يَنْحَصُرُ فِي الْوَجْهَ الَّذِي وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. And this is not contained in the actual thing that caused it. In other words, think about this. Tribulations will come from a wrong action. Alright? Tribulations will come from a wrong action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No calamity afflicts you except from what your own hands have done. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And He forgives a lot. So, whenever an affliction, a calamity comes, there's three aspects. This is what he's reminded us. The first one is mukaffira. It removes wrongs of the past. The second one is mudakkira. The danger of this one is in other people. Here's what will happen, especially mutakabbirun. If somebody causes somebody problems, and then some terrible thing happens to that person, he said, that's what he deserves. He got what he deserves. He did this to me, so that's Allah getting him back. That is absolutely haram to do that. Sometimes people ask me, this happened many times actually. People have done things. You'll have a situation, for instance, somebody will say, I was committing adultery and I got AIDS. Do you think that is a punishment from God? Now, it's haram for me to say that to him, because it's not my business. I don't know what Allah does. You see, maybe it's a mukaffira. But for him, it's a mudhakkira. In other words, he should think about things. And the thing about it is, it won't happen the first time. Because that's usually not how it works. And that's what he says. And this is what he's saying here. The mudhakkira will come from previous wrongs. When the calamity afflicts you, it's not actually the wrong in the calamity. It's for previous wrongs. بَلْ جَرَتْ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالسَّتْرِ لِعِبَادِهِ فِي مَا هُمْ بِهِ. In fact, the sunnah of Allah is to veil people in that which they're in. That is the sunnah of Allah. فلا يسلط عليهم البلايا من الوجه الذي أساءوا به. What it means is, calamities are a result of your wrongs. مصائب والبلايا are a result, they are tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His servant because of what he was doing. But the tribulation will not afflict you in something that you were doing at that time. The tribulation actually comes for past things, because it's not the sunnah of Allah to try you in that thing in and of itself, in the disobedience. Generally. So in other words, when some calamity happens, what you say, why is this happening? That's an important question for you as an individual to ask yourself. Why is Allah doing it? And one of these people asked me, you know, we're having this problem, this and that. And I said, you know what? You all need to meet and just ask yourselves one question. Why is this happening to us? Why? And nobody will ask that question. They'll let things just happen again and again, and they won't ask that. Why is this happening? One of the things that people will do, very common, just to give you an example, it's a very common thing. People will get into the same relationships with other people. You'll have somebody who'll say, every time I get a friend, he does the same thing to me. Every time. I've had this friend, this friend, this friend, this friend. They all did the same thing to me. They think it's the other person. And this is the point. You have to learn the lesson that you're being told at any given moment. It's all about you. This whole thing is about you. Each one of you. The whole thing. Even my being here right now, talking to you, is about you. It's not about me. But that's the truth. Every single one of you, this whole thing, Allah is doing it all for you. And that's the miracle of the world we're living in. The whole thing is for you. Everybody, it's all for you. Allah is doing that. And at a certain point, you begin to realize why He's doing that. He's doing that to teach you that it's all for Him. You see, you have to go through that stage. You have to go through that egocentric stage, because at that point, that's going to force you back to yourself in a real way. In other words, there's two types of egocentricity. There's a type of egocentricity that's always projecting outward. And then there's another type of egocentricity that always begins to project inward. And that's the beginning of spiritual development, where you actually turn inward. You do recognize, yes, this is all about me. But I can't project out anymore. I can't blame it on all these people. It's all his fault. The reason I'm unhappy is because this person, my parents were toxic parents. I read this book. Now I know why I'm all messed up. These type things. This is the self-indulgent Western infantile nafs. And at a certain point, you have to give up that. And at that point, spiritual development starts happening. But it's still egocentric. This, what he's doing here, is it's all about dismantling this ego. But you have to get to that stage where, yes, it is all about you. And you have to start seeing creation as all happening to teach you. It's lessons that you have to learn. The thing about school, one of the tragic things about Western school, which is now the dominant paradigm all over the world, is that you can just keep going ahead even if you don't really understand the material. They'll just let you go to the next grade. In Allah's madrasa, that doesn't happen. You get the same lessons, like Kumon, mathematics, Japanese math. Until you get 100%, they give you the same lesson over and over again. You get the same lesson. Allah will give you the same dars over and over again, until you get the point. And the thing about the Sahaba, they got it immediately. They did not wait for another lesson. That's why there's no repeat of Uhud. Look at the seerah. There's no repeat of Uhud. They got the lesson. We don't get the lesson. So we get the repeat. Bosnia, Kuwait, Kashmir, Philippines, wherever. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing over and over again because the Muslims don't learn. So Allah keeps giving us the same lesson over and over again. Sabr, yaqeen, mujahada. They're basic lessons. We haven't, sabr, after tawbah, sabr is the first maqam. We haven't made tawbah and we haven't gone into sabr. So we're getting all of this mudhakkirat. They keep coming. In other words, the mudhakkirat are not about that thing that you're in at the time that it happens. When the car breaks down, it's not because you were listening to music or something on your tape deck driving down the road. That's the point. No, there's something else going on. What's happening? Why is that happening? That is not a coincidence. Don't think it's a coincidence. Right? I mean, I've seen somebody drive, and this is the truth, I've seen somebody drive without gas. I've seen that happen. Without gas. There was no gas in the car. The car ran out of gas. And the car, we kept going. It went out of gas, went, did that thing that they do. And then, bismillah, benzene. Khalas. And it just started up again. So when things happen, just let them happen. Don't fight it. What people do, the car breaks down, they get out, they kick the car. The car did nothing. It's like you're kicking the decree of Allah. That's what you're doing. It's like kicking the decree of Allah. MashaAllah. What's the lesson here? Just think about it. Because things do happen for a reason. And if you start letting that happen, the person that stops the car is going to end up either being somebody you've been looking for, or they end up talking to you about Islam, they become a Muslim. Something's going to, if you allow that to happen, you can stop that from happening. But if this is the approach that you take to existence, Allah will start showing you why. See, the kuffar cut themselves off from this completely because they're frustrated. And so they can't see what's happening. They don't allow it. See, Musa alayhi salam, he went to get fire. He saw some fire, he had his family, and he said, you know what, I'll go get a qabas so we can start fire here. And maybe I'll find some news, because he thought there were some travelers there. No, that was not what Allah intended. Now when Musa got there, Allah spoke to him. He did not say, you know, I'm not making light of this at all, but I just want to point this point out. He did not say, I didn't come for this, I came for the fire. I need to go back to my family. No. At that point, you go with where Allah is taking you. This is the secret of being in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's creation will take you where you're supposed to go. And it will all unfold for you. And you'll start seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see them. Allah will show you His sign. The unseen will start impinging on your life to the point where you say, Subhanallah. And you start saying, Subhanallah. And this is what happens. You enter into a state of conformity with reality, and Allah continues to show you reality. When you reject this, then you start throwing wrenches in the works. You're throwing your own wrenches in the works, and you just trip yourself up, and it won't happen. What's supposed to happen will not happen. If you miss the airplane, there's a reason you're supposed to miss it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all just let things happen. It doesn't mean that you just sit back. No, you do all the asbab. But when you do the asbab and the thing does not happen, the musabbib, the real musabbib is that he's the one now that's putting the impediments there. And there's a reason for that. If you don't do it, blame yourself. You see, if the airport's an hour away and you're supposed to be there and you leave without the time that you need and then you miss the flight, no, you blame yourself. But if you did everything you could and it all goes wrong. I've been on amazing things where it's just you have to say, MashaAllah. Because it's not about anything you could have done. You did all the asbab, and Allah didn't let it happen. And there's another reason. So you just submit to that, and then Allah will show you. But if you don't submit to it, you get veiled. And then you just become frustrated by the qadr. You're frustrated by it. You don't see the wisdom in it. That's why the kuffar can't see the wisdom in it, because they're fighting it. So Allah will not let them see the wisdom. And a lot of Muslims are fighting it as well, so they don't see the wisdom in it. They get as frustrated as the kuffar. This is a mudhakkira. Allah is reminding us of something, and we have to take the reminder. Now the third one is uqubat. See, this is what happens. And this is the horrible one. So here's the three reasons. Mukaffirat, that's a good thing. Mudhakkirat, that's a good thing. Uqubat, bad thing. And this is وَهِيَ الَّتِي تُزِيدُ صَاحِبَهَا ضَجِرًا وَضِيقًا وَسُخْطًا بِالْقَضَاءِ. These are those that will increase the one that it's happening to in vexation, in constriction, and in anger towards the decree. He'll just get angry. He'll get out and smash the hood of his car. And then it becomes an uquba. It's a terrible thing. The other one, you're allowing it to be a mudhakkira and a mukaffira, and then it's something else happens. You get sick, mashaAllah. You lose your money, mashaAllah. Who cares? Seriously, what can you do? If you lost all your money, what can you do about it? You can sit there and fret and fume, become vexated. It's all being angry at the qada and the qadar. That's all it is. You're just angry at the qada and the qadar. So just let go. There's a lesson here. Learn the lesson. Mudhakkira, mukaffira. Learn it, benefit by it. Don't make it an uquba. So that's his third one. And then we enter the khatima. This is the end now, the khatima. Furu' at-tawbah. So he's given us this. We're ending the mawqif al-awwal, right? The mawqif al-awwal, we're coming to an end, which is tahqiq at-tawbah. And what he's saying here, and that had qutb al-awwal was tahqiq al-niyya, qutb al-thani was radd al-madarim, and qutb al-thalith was ijtinab al-maharam. So he's finished that. He's basically giving you all that now, tawbah. This all, what just preceded was all about tawbah. How to realize real tawbah. Many of us, what's happening in our lives, it's just the same thing over and over again. Like the rat that spins the wheel, doesn't go anywhere. He's trying to get you out of that cycle. Tawbah that is real. Tawbah that's not falling back on the same patterns. Because we're like automatons. We're like robots. Most of us are in deep sleep, and most of our lives are led in this somnambulant state where we're simply going through the motions. People can push your buttons. Husband and wife learn these early on in marriages. They learn buttons to push. You're just like your mother. Why do you always say that? You see? He knows. You see, or she knows what to say. Whatever it is, people know their tapes. These are all tapes. They're pre-recorded. Usually the discs came from their parents, but not always. They're pre-recorded tapes. No copyright. They're transmitted, you know, passed on. And then you just turn it on and you get the tape. And this is what people do. Same characters come into the mosque. Every time you see them, same exchange happens. It's just tapes. That's the way most people are. They go through their lives like that. They never wake up to what life is about. They never wake up to what this is all really about. What he's saying is, wake up time is wake up call. The alarm's going off. That's what happened over 1420 years. نَسْمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. A caller came calling to Iman. Wake up. مُوتُوا قَبْلَا تَمُوتُوا حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَا تُحَاسَبُوا. Take yourself to account before you're taken to account. كُونُوا كَأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ عِدُّوا أَنفُسُكُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. Prepare for death by killing yourselves now, your egos. Consider yourself, Sahih Muslim, consider yourself already in the graves. Do it now. Don't wait till it happens later. Do it now. This is the message of urgency. All the prophets, this is what they're saying. Don't wait till suddenly you wake up and realize it's all true. هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. This is what the Merciful told us. He said it was going to happen, and the Prophet spoke the truth. Don't wait till that moment. Do it now. That's all he's saying. That's his urgency. So the khatima, furu' tawbah kathiratun. The branches of tawbah are many. ومداخلها غزيرة. And its inroads are abundant. وتصحيحها أصل صحة كل مقام. And its tasheeh, rectifying your tawbah, is the foundation of the soundness of every station on this path. In other words, you're not going anywhere. This is the vehicle by which you start this journey. If you're not doing this, and that's why what we just went through, all of that which we just went through, he's giving you the vehicle to start your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your individual journey. Each one of us has a journey. Every one of us has a moment in time. There's a door somewhere. There's a door in this world waiting for you into the unseen world. It's waiting for you. None of us knows where it is, but we're going to meet that door. And the angel of death is at the door. He opens the door for you. I was with, and this is an amazing thing, I was with Sheikh Abdullah Al-Qadhi in Dammam. I think we prayed the Eid. And we had a flight, it was before Fajr. And it was probably about 4:30. I was in his house, he had this room for me in the back. And it was right before Fajr. I was half between sleep and wakefulness, but I was thinking about death really strongly. And Sheikh Abdullah Al-Qadhi opened the door. And all my luggage was there right there. And he said, Musta'il lis-safar ya Sheikh. I mean, literally. He said, are you ready for the journey, Sheikh? And I was looking at my luggage and looking at him. And I just realized, you know, one day, the angel of death, he's going to come and say that. If we're lucky. Because he's nice to believers. He's horrific to non-Muslims. To believers, he's actually gentle. Because the Prophet made him promise that he would be gentle to his followers. Musta'id ya Sheikh? You ready? And I'm looking at my luggage thinking, it's your actions. That's your luggage. You're going to carry your actions into the next world. That's your baggage. And it's a real journey. Don't have any doubts about it. It's going to happen. So, nothing's going to work without tawbah. A sincere tawbah. Tawbah nasuh. This is tawbah nasuh. It's not the tawbah where you keep falling back. And don't get despaired because you keep doing that. But if you take this seriously, it works. And many people have done this. مَجْرَاهَا فِي الْمَقَامَاتِ مَجْرَ الْأَرْوَاحِ فِي الْأَجْسَامِ. The place of tawbah in relation to the stations of this wayfaring to Allah is the path of tawbah, is like the spirits to the body. It's what animates your journey to Allah. And that's why Allah loves tawbah. And that's why tawbah will continue throughout this entire journey. But it gets more rarefied. You keep making tawbah. It never stops. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he asked forgiveness of Allah at least 70 times a day. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his wrong actions were better than our right actions. The best thing that we can do is not as good as the dhanb of the Prophet ﷺ. His dhanb is not a wrong action. It's actually a right action that is not as high as it could be. And that's the point. He was moving up in stations as well, towards his perfection. So, look at your body. It's all moving towards this perfection. Your eyes, everything. It's all developing towards perfection. It's the nature of the body. Look at the child. The child begins, it can't move. And then it starts to learn how to turn on its side. And then it begins to crawl. Nobody taught it any of this stuff. But at a certain point, this is the amazing thing. At a certain point, when the child begins to crawl, it needs to see a human being on 2 feet. It won't take that move. And that's why the wolf children, feral children, children who are raised by animals, they don't walk on 2 feet. They literally crawl like animals because they never saw a human walk on 2 feet. And this is one of the tragedies of our age, because it's so rare to see human beings that actually have achieved what he's talking about. Because it's hard to imagine this type of perfection. But it is possible. The soul yearns for it. It's yearning for it. It's trapped in your body, yearning for this journey. The soul is yearning for it. So he says, إِذْ لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ أَحْكَامُهُ وَلِكُلِّ حُكْمٍ إِحْكَامُهُ. Because every station has its appropriate rules, rulings. And for every ruling has its mastery. In other words, you learn the hukam of prayer. You learn the ahkam of prayer. Those ahkam have an itqan. They have a mastery. Think of just making your life, think of just mastering your prayer in your life, in your lifetime. Look at your prayer. Each time you make a prayer, see, what does a musician do? I mean, just to you, because musicians are amazing metaphors, I think. What does a musician do? Every time they go to their instrument, these master musicians, what do? They're practicing, right? Why? To perfect. That's really what they're doing. They're not doing the same. That's a hacker. Something that does the same thing every time, that's a hacker. They never improve. They get to a certain level and they stay there. That's not what masters do in anything. The master martial artist, every time he goes to the mat, he goes to perfect his technique. He goes to increase his mastery of his art. Every time the calligrapher does his, he wants improvement until he masters it. And the nature of most things is that there's always room for improvement. And so imagine being a person who is on the path of mastery in his prayer. Every time you go to the prayer, there's an effort to make it better than the last prayer that you prayed. Going actually with that intention, I'm going to have more presence in my prayer. I'm going to do my prayer more properly. I'm going to be aware. Somebody asked, I think it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he used to play basketball. They said, when you miss, what do you think of? And he said, too long, too short, too much to the left, too much to the right. In other words, readjust. You don't get frustrated. It's how can I make it better the next time? And that's the way this whole thing should be. Our lives should be that. Your Arabic, when you go to it, go to improve it. Don't settle for getting to proficiency. I mean, in some things, yes, because not everything, obviously, you can't master everything in your life. But there are certain things, like one of them said, مَا رَأَيْتُ عَيْبٍ مِنْ عَيُوبِ النَّاسِ كَنَقْصَ الْقَادِرِينَ عَلَى التَّمَامِ. I never saw a fault worse than the fault of people capable of perfecting something and they didn't do it. And then another one said, the fault is not that you have mastered everything, but that you haven't mastered one thing. That is a fault, that there hasn't been itqan. Because Allah yuhibbul itqan, katabat ihsan ala kulli shay. Ihsan is written on everything. And the ancients were like that. Look at the museums of the kuffar are filled with Islamic domestic appliances. The museums of the kuffar are filled with Ottoman bowls. Things that people used to drink out of. Why? Because they know that whoever made that did it with itqan. Why do they go to the Alhambra? Why do all those kuffar go? Millions every year. What are they going there for? What are they seeing there that they're not seeing? Because all this kafir architecture now is all functional. Bauhausian. What these people did, these people had perfection. It's the dimensions are perfect. When architects go there, that's what they see. And when non-trained people, they get a glimpse of it. See, a master poet, when he hears another master poet recite his poetry, he sees the mastery of his technique. But the person who has a feeling in his heart for poetry, he senses it. He can't see the perfect alliteration. He can't see the perfect meter and the rhyme. But he senses whatever it is. It doesn't sound like that doggerel I heard the other day. That's what he senses. And this is what those people sense. That's what they're seeing there. And that's what you sense when you see somebody. If you see Marab Tarhaj pray, for instance, if you pray behind him, your prayer is different. They say that the hudur of the musallin is based on the hudur of the imam. Which is why traditionally you're supposed to put the person who has the most hudur as the imam. There's a famous story about a jama'at of Libyans. This is an older story, but there was this abd there. He was black, Libyan. And in Maliki Madhab, you say Allahu Akbar out loud. Everybody does it. So he used to go to this mosque every day, and the imam said Allahu Akbar, and then all the people praying say Allahu Akbar, and then like about halfway through the first, you know, the Fatiha and the Surah, they'd hear this guy, Allahu Akbar. And he'd always do this, every single prayer. So they finally went up to him and said, can we ask you something? Why are you always delaying the takbir? He said, MashaAllah, you people are so righteous. You get the Kaaba right in front of you immediately. It takes me a little while. So they wanted him to be the imam. وَحَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ سَيَّاتِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. The good actions of righteous people are the bad actions of those in the Divine Presence. وَحَسَنَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ سَيَّاتِ أَهْلِ الْكَمَالِ. And the good actions of the people in the nearness of Allah are the bad actions of the people of perfection. So it gets finer and finer. What he's saying is tawbah is endless. You will always make tawbah. If you're in the maqam of sabr, when you move to the maqam, a higher maqam, suddenly you realize within that maqam how much wrong you did in the previous maqam. Even though when you were in that previous maqam, those wrongs were rights. Do you understand? In other words, it gets more and more rarefied to the point where for certain people, it's that for a moment they go into heedlessness. That becomes a wrong. For a moment to go into heedlessness. كان يذكر الله في كل أحيانه. Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ remembered Allah in all of his states. He was always in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. And then he says, وَكَذَلِكَ التَّقْوَى تَدْخُرُ فِي كُلِّ مَقَامٍ. Because he was speaking about taqwa, also taqwa enters into every station. So tawbah and taqwa are with you on your whole journey. You'll never leave them. وَتَجْرِي عَرَ قَدْرِ نِسْبَتِهِ. And it proceeds in accordance with the degree of its relationship to that maqam. It gets higher and higher. وَإِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ وَالتَّقْوَى عَزْمٌ ثُمَّ حَزْمٌ ثُمَّ حُكْمٌ. Tawbah and taqwa are firm intention, unwavering determination, and then finally authority. Allah gives you the ability to control yourself. But it comes first with absolute determination. This is it. You have to have azimah. Once you make that azima, then you have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have to have hazmun. And then finally you get hukmun, thumma hukmun. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ فِي الْوُجُودِ يَقْوَى وَيَضْعُ فِي سَبِي وَمَدَّتِهِ. Every matter in existence is strong or weak in accordance with its means and material. So a building is strong or weak in accordance with the means by which it was built and the material you used. أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. That's the way it works. So if you use strong material, you have a strong building. The material of this path, وَمِنَ الْمُوَادِّي. The material of this path, لُزُومَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Constantly doing istighfar. وَدْوَامُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْمُخْتَارِ. And constantly doing prayer on the Prophet. That's how you're building your this spiritual path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fuel that will move your vehicle on this path. وقد قال الشيخ أبو الحسن الشاذلي رضي الله عنه إن أردت صدقة الأقوال فأعن على نفسك بقراءة إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. أبو الحسن الشاذلي, this is called a hikmah. This is not a hadith. This is a hikmah. Alright, this is a wisdom, it is not a hadith. I want to emphasize that. These are wisdoms that are mujarraba, they're things that people, either by ilham, and this is in accordance with the hadith. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the prophets. Inheritors yatasarrafu fi mulk in sharia. If you inherit something, you can use it to your discretion. The ulama have this ability. And this is why the ulama have put together like awrad. They did it in certain ways. The awrad should be from the book and the sunnah. But the Prophet ﷺ did many, many dhikrs, and we don't have the tartib in which he did it. So there are ulama that put a tartib. And this is tasarruf. The same with verses in the Quran. There are verses in the Quran that help in certain things, and some of the ulama have taken out these fa'idah and have used them in those places. So that's what he's doing. It's a hikmah from Abu Hassan al-Shadhili. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. If you want to help with sincerity in your speech, then help yourself by reciting Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. If you do a lot of recitation of that surah, it will help you in sidq. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ الْإِخْلَاصَ فِي الْعَمَلِ فَأَعِنْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِقِرَاءَةِ سُورَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Surah Al-Ikhlas will give you ikhlas. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that his fath came from Al-Fatiha. He used to do Al-Fatiha. His wird was Al-Fatiha. And he said Allah gave his opening from Al-Fatiha. Different ulama have had different futuhat. But Surah Al-Ikhlas is one of the surahs used for ikhlas. قُرْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدَ اللَّهُ صَمَدَ مِدِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يُكْلُهُ فَوَلَحَدْ. Doing this a lot of times, 100 times, 1,000 times. I mean, you don't want to specify numbers, it can enter into a type of bid'ah idafiyah. Out of kulli hal, some of the ulama have mentioned numbers, but this is one of the secrets of this surah is ikhlas. It's called Surah Al-Ikhlas. In aradta an-ni'ma aw an-man'a fi al-madhhar fa'in nafsika 'ala qira'ati qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. If you want protection in the outward, protect yourself by reading قُرْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَارِقِ. And this is in the hadith. The Prophet used to use it as a protection. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ السَّلَامَ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ. And if you want protection from the evil of people, فَأَعِنْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِقِرَاءَةِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. If you want protection from the evil of people, help yourself by reciting قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, 3 times before you go to bed, after your prayers. Some people do them after every prayer. It's useful. So these are protections. And this is an age where we need all the protection we can get. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَسْنَى مِنْ يَدِيَ الشِّرْكِ وَخَفِيهِ فَقُلْ فِي صَبِيحَةِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَمَسَائِهِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أُشْرِكَ بِكَ وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. 3 times. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you desire to be safe from outward shirk and inward shirk, explicit and implicit shirk, overt shirk and secret shirk, hidden shirk, which is riya, then say every morning and every evening 3 times, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Did everybody get that? Allahumma إني ألف نون يا إني أعوذ ألف عين واو ذال أعوذ بك باك أن ألف نون أشرك ألف شين راك أشرك منصوب بأن أن أشرك بك باك واو أنا ألف نون ألف أو همزة نون ألف أنا أعلم ألف or Hamza, Ayn Lam Mim, A'lamu, Wa Astaghfiruka, Astaghfiruka, Wa, Wow, Hamza, Sin, Ta, Ghain, Fa, Ra, Ka, Wa Astaghfiruka, Lima, Lam Mim, Alif, La, A'lamu, La, A'lamu, La, Lam Alif, Hamza, Ayn Lam Mim, 3 times. Allahumma, Inni, so everybody say that. Allahumma, إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. And that will protect you, because if you look at that dua, I seek refuge in that I should associate with you and I know about it. That's riya. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. And I ask forgiveness of things I'm not aware of, because as you progress in your path, you realize that things that you didn't even know were riya, were riya. This is the way it works. So, by doing that, because the heart is in the hand of Allah, that you protect yourself, inshallah. وَبِالْجُمْلَةِ فَحُسْنُ مَقَامَ التَّوْبَةِ بَعْدَ تَحَقُّقِهَا لُزُومِ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ وَتَحَقُّقُ فِيهَا فَلْنَذْكُرْهَا وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. So he said, in totality, the security in the Maqam at-Tawbah, the fortress in the Maqam at-Tawbah after it's been realized, is luzum al-istiqamah, is to maintain your istiqamah. In other words, once you're upright, you have to maintain your istiqamah. وَتَحَقَّقُ فِيهَا. Now I just want to say this. There are people who have achieved Maqam al-istiqamah. There are people that have achieved Maqam at-Tawbah, really. I guarantee you, I mean, Marab al-Hajj, nobody's ever heard him say anything about any other human being that was makruh. Ever. Nobody. There's people there who've been with him over 70 years. Not once did they ever hear him speak ill of anybody. Nor will he allow any ghiba in his company. He will not allow it. One student was studying with him once. In Mukhtasar Khalil, there's mentioned a type of horse that has a big head and it's slow. The Arabs don't really like it. And he said, oh, is that like the horse of so-and-so? And Murab al-Hajj, he really got upset. And he said, Astaghfirullah. He said, I fled people because I didn't want to hear about other people. And he said, you want to study with me? Don't mention people with su. Because it's ghiba to say something about somebody's animal that they wouldn't like. It's ghiba to say something, even their car. Like you say, so-and-so's car is really lousy. That's a ghiba. I mean, that's another book, Maharam al-Lisan. You study that and you'll just weep. Really, that book will, I mean, it'll make you weep. If it doesn't, you're dead. But, I mean, it really, and you're dead anyway. I mean, it's, that book will really frighten you. Maharam al-Lisan, the prohibitions of Lisan. Sheikh Muhammad Mawlud, al-Musawi al-Yaqubi. You need to learn the rules of ghiba, you know, and not just ghiba. There's so many things about the tongue that people are unaware of. You know, if you speak ill of somebody, you're supposed to do istihlal of their children. Like, if you speak ill of somebody who has children, it would hurt them if they heard it as well. So it becomes backbiting of the family. You know, backbiting is like compounded interest. Because it's dhikru akhaka bima yakrahu idha sami'a. It's mentioning your brother. Right? ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا سَمِعَ لَوْ سَمِعَهَا أَوْ سَمِعَهُ كَرِهَا. It's making mention of your brother in something, had he heard it, he would dislike it. So if you speak ill of somebody who somebody else really loves, they would be really upset to hear that. So it's not just that person. You've made ghiba of other people. It just goes on and on and on. And ghiba is a kabira. It's not a minor thing. That's why Sidi Ahmed Abu al-Hasan al-Shadidi said, if you don't learn some of this science, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَوَغَّلْ فِي عِلْمِنَا هَذَا مَاتُهُ مُصُرٌّ عَلَى الْكَبَائِرِ. Whoever does not learn something of this science will die, and he is immersed in the major wrong actions without making tawbah. He's not even aware of it. But think how the majority of our ummah is in major kabair without making tawbah. The vast majority. And we wonder why we're getting all this tribulation. This is all rahmah from Allah and we don't even recognize it. It's all mukaffirat and mudakkirat. And for a lot of people it's uqubat, because they just get angry. They don't see the wisdom in it. MashaAllah. So now that's all the mawqif. And then he says, وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. Tawfiq is through Allah. That was all mawqif al-awwal. تَحْقِيقُ التَّوْبَةِ. It had three aqtab. Right? تحقيق النية, رد المظالم, and اجتناب المحارم. We finished that. Now, استقامة. So, he's saying, I mean, technically we could stop the book here. We could, because we're in that first section. In other words, you could say, when I get there, I'll read this next section. All right? Because technically, the work that we have set out for us is in this first section. But it's good to know what lies ahead, inshallah. And it relates also to what we're doing now, because all of us, inshallah, have some level of istiqamah in our lives, hopefully. Al-Mawqif al-Thani. Al-Mawqif al-Thani fi al-Istiqamati wa ma tad'u ilayhi min al-Hidayati wa al-Karama wa busutaha thalathatun jami'atun muhasaratun li dhawil himami nafi'atun. So he says, the second mawqif, station or platform for all of this, is uprightness, istiqamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Aamantu billah thumma istaqim. Say, I believe in Allah and then istiqamah. Aamantu billah tawbah. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in Allah is tawbah from kufr. Do you see, that's the first tawbah. Is tawbah from kufr. And then tawbah from kabair. And then tawbah from sagair. And then tawbah from mubahat, which have israf. And then tawbah from masiwallah. Those are the maqamat of tawbah. Five. There's five maqam of tawbah. So the ground of this is three. It is comprehensive, achievable, muhassala. It is achievable. لِذِوِلْ himam, for people of high himma, you can reach it. That's what he's saying. Don't think you cannot reach it. And the thing about it is, all of us should aspire to this. If for anything, for the sake of this ummah. The ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. This ummah needs awliya. It needs righteous people. For the sake of this ummah, that we need people whose prayers are answered. We need people that yutawassal bihim. We have drought all over the world. We have wars all over the world. We need people that really are awliya, that are people drawing near to Allah, that are rejecting all this materialism. There needs to be people out there who are not sending their children to kafir schools to learn the ways of kufr out of their love of dunya. That they're actually willing to change the cycle, to break these cycles. Really, we need people that are willing to break these cycles. Look at the Muslims. We are in a pathetic condition. We've never been in a more pathetic condition. And our youth are being lost everywhere. We've got debates going on in mosques that have no meaning whatsoever. It's like two guys arguing about how long their robes are. Your robe's not short enough, brother. What do you mean? Look, it's as short as yours. No, it isn't. And this is the type of stupidity that Muslims are engaged in right now. So, recognize that this is possible. And the thing about istiqamah, the power of istiqamah, I mean, wallahi, anything that the blessings all go back to the Messenger of Allah, this ummah, everything, it all goes back to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything goes back to that human being who at the age of 40 was given a revelation. Prior to that, he rarely spoke. He was known for uzla. He had no dunyawi aspirations. He had no desire to become some wealthy, powerful potentate of the Arabian Peninsula. He was living a very simple life, a naturally ascetic individual who had really no dunyawi aspirations. He went to a cave to yatahanna, to avoid the shirk of his people and to empty his soul in order to draw closer to his Lord. He was a hanif. He believed in one God. And an angel came to him, hum fa'andir. Arise. Arise. You're an awakened human being. Go wake up other people. That's your task. Go wake up other people. Here's a human being that had that not happened to him. Really. But it did. It happened to him. What did he do? He went and that's what he did. He went and they laughed at him. They spat on him. They chased him out of his own city. Somebody who'd never harmed them before. Al-Amin. They chased him out of his own city. Their children threw rocks at him. They poured entrails of animals on him while he was praying in sajda. All of that, when after five, he said, Allah, abuthu ilayka shakwaya. My complaint is to you, not to people. My complaint is to you. If you're content with me, I don't care if the entire creation, I don't care if the entire creation is upset with me, if you're content with me. And that's why this thing is all still going on. That's why it's still going on. That's why people are still becoming Muslim. That's why it's all going on from that. And that sacrifice, he is our qudwa. Uswatun hasana. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He's the uswa. He did all of that. Any human being would say, nafsi, nafsi. He was saying, ummati, ummati. That's what he was saying. Ummati, ummati. And so this really, this moving away from egocentricity. The first thing, it's all about you. But then at a certain point you realize, look around. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about Allah. And what Allah wants us to do is serve His creation. خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعُكُمْ لِعِيَالِ اللَّهِ كُلُّكُمْ عِيَالُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعُكُمْ لِعِيَالِهِ. All of you are dependents of Allah, and the best of you are those who show the most service to His dependents. And then it becomes the opposite. It's all about the other person. That's the realization. Once you stop projecting and you start introspecting, looking inward, taking that inward, suddenly you realize, I know what I'm supposed to do now. I'm supposed to be in khidmah. Because that's what he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was servicing everybody else. That's what he was doing. I mean, they heard a massive boom in Medina. And they went out to defend the city. And all the Sahaba get out with their swords. And here's the Messenger of Allah coming in on a horse. They said his hair flowing in the wind. His sword strapped to him. La tura'u, la tura'u. Don't be alarmed, don't be alarmed. I've taken care of it. The first one out to defend his city. The first one out. He said, if the Dajjal shows up, now one man was so frightened that the Dajjal would come, he said, أَنَا حَجِيجُكُمْ. If the Dajjal comes, don't worry, I'll take care of the Dajjal. I'll protect you from the Dajjal. But if he comes and I'm not here, every one of you is his own hajij. You have to protect yourself with what? With his guidance. Because he's still with us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point is, at a certain point, you have to realize not only is istiqamah possible, it is wajib. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who said our Lord is Allah, and then they استقاموا. It's a wajib on us. It's an obligation to become people. اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Are we lying every time we say that? Are the angels saying, كَذَبْتَ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. You're a liar. You're not asking for guidance. Every single time we say that, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. طَيِّبْ. The hidayah is there. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. أَلِفْ لَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. There's the guidance. I gave you the guidance. I gave you everything. It's all there for you. So it's achievable if you have himmah and it's beneficial. The first bisat, al-bisat al-awwal fi al-ibadat, is in the ibadat. Because that's the foundation. Ibadat, adat, and then akhlaq wal-mu'amalat. That's it. So inshallah, we'll do that tomorrow. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.